Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre on a day in which the entire world's attention seems focused on one of the biggest stories out there, the US elections. And while it does still appear that Joe Biden is going to be the next president of the United States with the Democrats coming to power, at the moment it appears to be neck and neck. And the reason Biden is perhaps ahead at this stage is because he's already maintaining a lead, as he has been now for much of the day, 253 versus 214. And it's on the basis of the lead that he already has that he can afford a couple of reverses in some of the important swing states which are still counting. And it's assumed that he still just about managed to win a few of them, and that should take him to that magic mark of 270. He needs 270, the halfway mark. And therefore, what exactly is the situation in terms of the states? So a couple of really important states at this juncture which need clarity. Firstly, there is Arizona with 11 electors. There is Georgia as well. There is Nevada, North Carolina and Pennsylvania. Now, we may not get much of an idea on any of these states, quite frankly, over the next couple of hours. But by tomorrow morning, India Standard Time, there's a real sense that it may be we may be in a position where, you know, we can call the election itself. But at the moment, there are two states which are particularly interesting. There is Arizona, which has 11 electors, and Georgia, which has 16 electors. If you add up 16 and 11 and the 253, then Biden makes it on top. And then there is Pennsylvania. Remember, Pennsylvania results were expected to be out tomorrow. That's when they will likely be out. But at this juncture, what is interesting about Pennsylvania, which has 20 electors and is neck and neck, is the belief that among those whose votes are presently being counted, about 1,40,000 votes still to be counted in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, it is mail-in ballots which are largely being counted, plus election day votes. And the sense is that those mail-in ballots would typically go to blue, to the Democrats, to Joe Biden. And therefore, there is a real optimism in the Democrat stance that they would win Philadelphia ultimately. Then there is the Bucks County in Pennsylvania, right next to Philadelphia. And 77% in Bucks County are favoring Biden so far. In Georgia, just 50,000 votes left to be counted. And if you look at the difference between the two, 49% to the Democrats, 50% to the Republicans, absolutely neck and neck. Again, both sides expect to pick up that state. So what we're going to do is actually introduce our panelists at this stage and then go from graphic to graphic on some of the main points. Durab Supariwala joins us, as does Minalini Kumari, co-chair of Indian Voices for Trump. Professor Khyati Joshi, advisor of South Asia for Biden, with us. And Puneet Ahluwalia, who's a candidate for Lieutenant Governor, with us as well. Also, Sriram Lakshman, the U.S. correspondent of The Hindu. So we've got a great panel with us this evening. Let me go straight across at this stage to Durab. And as I do that, let's bring up that first graphic. What exactly in all of this are the bookies actually saying? Now, this is interesting, because they often tend to get it right, but in this particular case, they've been all over the place. So we'll tell you where they were and where they are presently. Now, yesterday, they went from 40% Biden to 74% Biden to 81% Biden, right? So that's what the situation was. Do we have any more on what the bookies have been saying? 60% for 60%. For Trump to 26%, for Trump to 19%. And I think that 8:30 p.m. number is actually today's, right? So this is, sorry, that's yesterday. That's where they were yesterday. And where have they been today? Because they've been changing, right? So here we are, and we've got two sets of numbers there. Biden is up to 85%. Trump is down to 15%. So it depends how you, I mean, you can't take bookies at face value, but that's the sense right now. Also, a state-wise look, and this is interesting. at the bookies. And this is important because there's just a handful of states which are, in the fray right now. So in all of these states, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Nevada, this election is all about these states right now. Other than North Carolina, where Trump has always been expected to win, the sense is that, look, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, it's all going to end up with Biden. All right, let's go straight across. Let me introduce our guest first before I go across to Durab, who is our editorial advisor, Durab Suparivala, Mrinalini Kumari with us, Indian Voices for Trump, Khyati Joshi, South Asians for Biden, Sriram Lakshman, as I mentioned, with the Hindu, and Punita Aluwalia, candidate for Lieutenant Governor in Virginia. But let me go straight across to Durab first. A couple of important points. Based on what's happening in the counties, let's look at Philadelphia. In the context of these elections, if Philadelphia ultimately, or Pennsylvania rather, ends up going to the Democrats, then it's game over for Trump, right? And what's happening now in Philadelphia, with 1,40,000 votes just about being counted now, is interesting, right? Because despite the Republican lead, the sense is what is left would actually swing the state around. Is that the case?
Yes, I think most people believe that the ballots that are coming in now are from early voting and postal ballots, and in which tend to be overwhelmingly Democratic. Also, if you look at the last 2016 results in Philadelphia, they are enormously in favor of Mrs. Clinton. So it suggests that it's moving that way. Also, there's Allegheny County, which is the home of Pittsburgh, which again is a very strong Democratic stronghold, very good Democratic stronghold. So the odds are it is moving. Remember, yesterday in the evening, our time, Trump's lead was almost 600,000. Now it's down to 150,000. So as more and more votes come in from the urban areas, and there are more late votes, there are more postal votes, absentee votes, thing is beginning to swing towards the Democrats. You know, the odds you give, you mustn't forget that the odds are based on the bets that are received by the betting company.
Yep.
And the people who bet don't have a direct line to the woman above. They listen to the papers and listen to the media. And so then they place their bets. So they go as the wind blows. So currently the wind is blowing in many states towards Mr. Biden.
Right. And so my second question to you, Durab, Georgia, I think it was the New York Times, which wrote a little while back that President Trump's lead in Georgia shrank to 18,540 with less than 25,000 votes remaining.
I think that is incorrect. I have been to site of Secretary of State for Georgia, who conducts the elections in Georgia.
Okay. And what are they saying?
He says there are 62,000 votes left. Okay. And the New York Times own site says that the lead is 18,000. So 18,000 is right. But I would like to think the Secretary of State's own site.
You're right. It's 61,367 votes.
That's right. So the point that I'm trying to make, Vishnu, is it's a very important point, not only to do with Trump. This is very important because it affects the control of the Senate.
Yes.
The people, they vote for normally for the president and the Republicans.
Yes.
So the question is, if this gentleman, Mr. Perdue, if he slips even 0.1% below his current number, there's going to be a runoff. So he's got to hold the 50%. So he needs to pray that the president doesn't go down, because the president goes down, he'll take him down and they'll go into a runoff. He wants to avoid the runoff because he's leading. But in Georgia, to win, you must have more than 50% of the votes cast. And he's exactly at 50 now. So he's praying to God that Mr. Trump does not lose votes. Because if Mr. Trump goes down, say, 3-1 or 2-1, 65-35, in the votes that are coming in, it will also affect Mr. Perdue and lead to a runoff in the Senate.
All right. So let's take a look at our next set of graphics. These are the states remaining, and this is the updated situation in all of the states. Let's bring that up. The states remaining. Arizona is the key one. Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. These are the important states. And what you see on your screen is interesting, because just look at the Biden leads and the Trump leads. this is very much a neck and neck election at this juncture. It may be swinging towards the Democrats, but right now, as of now, it's still very close. And there is no way that this would ever be a landslide. You know, people were saying Trump is going to lose, Biden's going to win by a huge margin. None of that. Trump's still very much in the fight, but it's going to be very difficult. One second. Let's just go through this once again. The Biden lead in Arizona, 3%. They want to hold on to that. In Georgia, it's even Stevens, as Durab was mentioning. Nevada, very slender lead at this stage for Biden. Last I saw, Nevada counting was very slow. North Carolina, 1% down for Biden, 1% up. Trump leads by 1%. Pennsylvania, that's a really interesting one. It says a 3% Trump lead, but as we've been mentioning, if you look at the trends in the voting right now, in a couple of the very important counties, then that's definitely going the Democrat way. That's expected to change. The Republicans would say there is no way that they're going to catch up, will the Democrats, with the Trump 3% lead, but there is information to the contrary. And Alaska, quite clearly, Trump is winning that, state. All right. So let me go across to Mrinalini Kumari. Mrinalini, thanks very much for being with us. And as I do that, let's just go across to the next graphic, which is Trump's path to victory. What exactly, Mrinalini, as the co-chairperson of Indian Voices for Trump, do you believe Donald Trump needs to do now? Because a lot of people would suggest that it's essentially game over. I know he may go to the courts, but in terms of the numbers that we see now, would you say it's unrealistic for the Republicans to win?
If the numbers were real, I would say yes, it's unrealistic for the Republicans to win, but the numbers are not real and they're not accurate. I mean, the way the voting has been conducted in Pennsylvania is a joke. So, I mean, based on what's in Wisconsin, I mean, look what the pollsters were saying, that Biden is going to win Wisconsin by 17 points. And you're quoting New York Times, who has been so awfully wrong with all their polling. So, I mean, let's give it a break. I don't think these numbers are accurate. And the way Trump was so ahead in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, I mean, this all seems mightily rigged to me.
But and he can, should How can elections court. Be rigged? How can these elections
because
be rigged?
Because a lot of ballots have been, a lot of ballots have been found, like 300,000
300,000 ballots have been found. Where exactly have they found?
Yes.
Because statistically, we've done some work on this. And the if you look at past U.S. elections, Mrinalini, there is a 0.0009% evidence of electoral fraud in America in the past.
No, that's not really true. Listen, let me send you some articles and you can see it. And this is from CNBC, etc.
No, I'm quoting articles as well, which I've seen, and I'd be happy to send them to you. But I'm just trying to forget that. I'm just trying to understand where you say this fraud is coming from.
The fraud is coming from ballots being dropped off after the election day.
But they were stamped. They were stamped, and people voted before the election day.
No, they weren't. They were actually dropped. There've been so many. There've been cases of people who have died in New York, and their ballots.
And exactly how many ballots are fake? Do you believe?
One would never know till you do a recount. And within 1%, a recount is a possibility, and President Trump will do it.
All right. So
I think the Democrats realize that game was over for them after Florida and Texas.
So the allegation you make is clear.
Let's start cheating now.
Ballots being dropped off. I wanted to bring in Professor Kyati Joshi, advisor South Asians for Biden. Professor Joshi, the point being made, and it's a very serious allegation, the Republicans have been saying it all day, that it's all, there's Pennsylvania, for example, all of a sudden ballots appear and these are past the acceptance date. They can be submitted. So how would you respond to what Mrinalini was saying?
First of all, each state has different laws regarding ballots. In many states, ballots are accepted up to a week afterwards.
No, she's not talking about the date of acceptance.
Hold on. They have to be post-stamped by election day. This idea of voter fraud, she is just spewing the same lies that the liar in chief continues to spew. Listen, people have been voting in this country for over 3 weeks. The ballots come in. They need to get counted. Why is Trump saying stop the count?
Why is the counting so slow now,
the
by the way?
Happened. So you have to, you know, what you laid out earlier, there is actually very little fraud that happens. I recommend that you have a campaign lawyer on, who I think you're going to have on tomorrow, who can explain this historically. But what she is saying, that the numbers are not real, is it absolutely false. But also, right now, that's all they've got, is to try to discredit this.
Now, also, how do you respond to that?
About a couple of things about Pennsylvania and Georgia. Georgia is, there's two counties specifically, the way you mentioned Bucks County for Pennsylvania.
And
keep an eye on Gwinnett and Fulton in
right.
Georgia. And Gwinnett has a very large Asian population, Indian population. This population could be the margin of victory, which is very significant in U.S. electoral history.
Now, one second, I need to be fair over here. I need to ask Mrinalini to respond to that, that essentially what you're saying is rubbish.
Yes.
So how can you spell it out in terms of electoral fraud?
Let me ask you a question. Why was Florida with 11 million people votes being counted exactly the same day, and Pennsylvania is taking so long? And Georgia is taking
they
so
started
long,
counting
and North Carolina
earlier.
Is taking so
Listen,
long. Really?
So they started counting
happened.
Earlier.
Like,
early
counting.
Votes were counted in Florida earlier.
I mean,
it changes
Florida
from state to state.
What about from Texas?
How come in Nevada we still don't know what's been happening in the last so many hours?
Because Nevada is all lies. People have moved out from Nevada and their votes are still coming in. I really would suggest that you actually, instead of listening just to one side of the Kool-Aid, start listening to the other stuff too.
Let me answer.
People have actually moved out from, they're not even in Nevada anymore, and the votes are still there.
Listen to me.
And
hear me
lady,
out.
Lady, whatever the state name is she talking about? She's not aware of the 300,000 ballots that the USPS has supposedly lost. Is she aware or is she not aware? I'm just curious.
Vishnu, are you going to let facts reel in
Kathy,
here?
Kathy, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Is Kathy aware or not aware?
Excuse me, my name is Kathy, and you should say it properly. Now, let me finish. You've got to know a little bit of law. You have to know that state by state, the counts occur different ways. What has happened is in when you look at all the voting that has happened, you have to let that count happen. You have to let that count happen. And you keep relying on false information. Absolutely false information. And by the way, the United States Post Service has been gutted because of the Trump administration. So if you're bringing up issues with the United States Postal Service, it's because the president is committing voter fraud.
Relax.
He's not... They didn't.
Okay.
They took out machines that could sort mail, that would make sure everything gets everywhere it needs to be. They dismantled these machines. Explain that.
Versus in Florida, every other state, United States, it all worked out except these states now.
No.
These states, Trump was ahead.
But
and suddenly, after the night, the morning got over,
polls.
And then it all
polls
changed.
Are problematic.
Yeah, great. Like seriously, all
polls,
everything he was winning before, and then now he's not.
Polls have always been problematic. First of all, you have to only go with state polls, not national polls. And polls underreport communities of color, immigrants.
But just one second, both of you, if I can just jump in for one second. Mrinalini, I think the point is Trump, and this is what Republicans said earlier, that Trump was doing just fine. Then what happened all of a sudden? He said this yesterday. But one moment, that there's an answer to that. The answer to that is that the process of counting is different in different states. Early votes are sometimes counted at the end. They may take more time. Plus, there are late votes as well, which get counted as well later on.
So the assumption
that
the
assumption that it would all happen at the same time is factually incorrect.
It's not. That's not the point.
Very accurate. Listen, I was communicating with
they just saw Trump winning, and they just said, now we have to do something. That's about it. And where is that landslide? Why are you nervous? There has to be a recount, and there will be a recount.
No, I don't think there's ever going to be a landslide. I think anybody who suggested that is completely unrealistic, right? But I think at this juncture...
What about the fact that everybody called him a racist and so many Hispanics in Texas and Florida went out and voted for him because they don't believe the Biden crap? Why did they vote for him? Why did they vote for President Trump then?
Because Trump has a resounding impact in American politics. There is no denying that. Irrespective of whether he wins or loses, Trump will have a huge... The fact is that Trump has established himself and his brand of politics for right or for wrong. That's a larger issue. The question is, will Trump try and disenfranchise people who have voted, or will that process of your vote counting for something take
anybody? He has already.
One second, Vinalini, answer that, and Kathy, I'll come to you in a moment. Go ahead. Okay.
He's not disenfranchising anybody. He just wants the Constitution to stand and the people who've actually voted their votes to count. Not people from dead bodies and from people from different countries and from people who've moved out from the states.
All right, one second. Kathy, three specific examples of how fraud is allegedly being committed, right?
No, I won't talk about that. I'll tell you how... What Trump is doing is, first of all, he has sued to stop the count. Now, that's voter disenfranchisement because these ballots have been cast. So he's basically saying stop. So he is trying to make sure it goes his way and votes aren't counted. Because if votes are counted,
it looks favorable for Biden. Trust me, if
it looked favorable for him, if it looked favorable for him, he'd be saying count those votes.
Yeah. It looks so favorable.
And by the way,
exactly.
You bring up the Constitution,
with you guys in the
you
Senate
should have read it, and you should know something about it, okay? So be careful with the language you bring up.
You guys have barely been able to keep your hold on the House. You lost 7 seats there, and you thought you were going to get the Senate. Shame on you, seriously. It just shows what the American people really want. It's not what you're proposing. They don't want socialism. They
actually, in about 9 minutes, we will know Nevada results. They're going to announce them in about 9-10 minutes.
All right. I will try and come back to both of you in a little while from now. I think the views you represent are very much an indicator of how divisive this election campaign has been, and how you see very strong views on both sides. Thank you for sharing a lot of those views. I want to just go on to our next set of graphics because, yes, we've also gotten alerts suggesting that Nevada could be coming out in a little while from now. But let's just, I just wanted to update our viewers on one small statistic. We spoke about bookies a little while earlier on, not suggesting that bookies are, the end all, but they are now saying 88 Biden, 12 Trump. So that's the updated number, 88%. To Biden, 12% to Trump. Let's move on now to the, what's our next graphic? Biden's path to victory. We've had Trump's path. I think let's have Trump's path to victory once. Okay, let's have Biden's path to victory, and then we'll go to Trump's path to victory. At the moment, Arizona and Nevada are the two states that Biden would hope to win, and then he gets through. Unless, of course, he wins Pennsylvania, but we may not know that very soon, then that Pennsylvania with 20 seats, votes rather, could in fact turn it entirely a blue victory. But Nevada, 86% of the votes in, apparently it's more than that now. The lead in Nevada is just 0.7, less than 1% for Biden. And in Arizona, he is leading by 3%. But the sense that the Democrats have is that they'd win both of them. Nothing doing, say the Republicans. What's the path ahead for Donald Trump? So the path ahead for Donald Trump is actually having to win many more states. And as we've been mentioning, that 253 for Biden versus 214 for Trump is the gap over there is what Biden would hope is enough to ensure that there isn't a huge reverse. If the Republicans hold Pennsylvania, if they they manage to hold on to that 0.4% lead in Georgia, 1% in North Carolina, and if they manage to reverse what's happening in Nevada, then they would possibly have a chance in on this. But I think based on what the Republicans have been saying, they intend to go to court. And the entire set of allegations of fake votes, votes which have been dumped by people who are not supposed to be part of the election process, those would certainly be some of the grounds on the basis of which they'd go to court. So let's go across to Suhasini Swamy. Suhasini, you heard and you saw possibly that rather intense discussion on NDTV, I might add. You know, we don't usually have people who fight that hard. But it sort of does represent a cross-section of very, very strong views over there. What does it boil down to right now?
Well, I think you've put it very simply. Look, at the end of the day, despite all the rhetoric and the clear political divide between your guests over there, the truth is that there are six elections that we are watching, six states that we are watching elections of. According to what we have heard, three of those have already given their votes, 100% reporting in all three of those. So we're just waiting for those to be announced. Three of those are still remaining. And those three are what we're watching: Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Nevada. Those are the three that haven't yet come in. If you go by the fact that Biden is at 253 and Trump is at 214, as you pointed out, Arizona and Nevada would be enough to get him over to 270. As far as Trump is concerned, he needs all three of the ones that are still being counted.
Okay.
So that's the simple fact. Without Pennsylvania, Mr. Trump cannot get to 270. Without Pennsylvania, Mr. Biden could if he gets Arizona and Nevada.
Okay.
The larger question is, will the vote counting be stopped, as Mr. Trump is trying to do? And if the vote counting is not stopped, then will it take a few more days, or is it going to all be over in the next 24 hours?
All right,
so
Asni, just hang on for one moment. I wanted to go across to Professor Steve Jarding, a professor with Harvard Kennedy School. Thank you very much, Professor, for being with us. And sorry to keep you waiting, but I think we just witnessed here so far away in India, just how competitive and combative both sides are in this election. But some of the allegations which have been raised by the Republicans of fake votes, votes by people who are dead, votes from people who shouldn't be voting at all, votes from foreign nationals. Is there anything at all by way of fact to suggest that those allegations may be true?
There's nothing by way of fact. It's total fabrication. The Trump campaign is notorious for it. They tried to do it in 2016. I mean, Donald Trump to this day says he won the popular vote against Hillary Clinton, and she won it by 3 million votes. I mean, that's just a fact. So, I mean, the allegations are a smokescreen for Donald Trump to try to convince Americans and certainly his base that somehow that he was robbed and should have been reelected. Again, there's so much evidence from American poll watchers hired by both political parties that suggest there's no fraud whatsoever. The ballot boxes in states are sealed when the polls closed. You couldn't add votes to them if you wanted, because they literally are locked with a padlock. I mean, so all these silly allegations that somehow somebody threw votes on top, it's ridiculous. It's right out of the Trump playbook to try to confuse. But the fact is, I think Donald Trump knows he's going to lose this election. There's almost no path to victory for him. It looks as though certainly that Biden will win Arizona and Nevada, where he has decent leads. He may, and it looks increasingly like he'll win Georgia, because most of the votes that are out are in Atlanta and Atlanta suburbs, where Joe Biden is doing something close to 75% of the votes. It looks as though Pennsylvania could switch, because again, where the votes are out, you've talked about it already, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia suburbs, those are going overwhelmingly for Biden. So this is an election that is rapidly slipping away from Donald Trump, and his only potential recourse is to try to get the courts to stop it. And that is a very tricky thing to do, because you'd have to stop him not just in states, but potentially in jurisdictions within states. That is not an easy proposition.
Professor, just for the benefit of viewers over here in India, is there any oversight to the process in which a mail-in ballot was received and a date stamp was put on it? And the reason I ask is because one of the big allegations is that the date stamps being put are fake date stamps, and they're being received after voting took place. They can be received, but they have to have been submitted earlier on. So what is the oversight mechanism, or the mechanism, and is it common across the US to ensure that that stamp of acceptance with the date is something that's that actually works?
Well, not only is there a mechanism, but both political parties have representatives at these sites, so that when ballots are stamped, There's an indication from both parties that that has to be approved. It is why when we hear these allegations, in this case, particularly from the Trump people, it really is silly. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party of the United States both monitor, both have designated and legal, they're bonded representatives to look at these votes and to stamp the votes. It is impossible to change a vote stamp, because if you did, if a Democrat tried to change it, the Republican that's representative that's bonded that's there to count them at the same exact time obviously would protest that.
All right.
So again, these are silly allegations that just are baseless, and there's no fact in it. I mean, the votes are being counted. The one thing that America has done when it comes to elections over the years has been to make sure that we have free and unfettered elections. Both parties have bought into that. Donald Trump is the first president in American history, really the first high-ranking elected official at any level who has thrown these kind of allegations en masse to try to muddy the waters. And he does that because this is not a man who can accept defeat. He, as we saw in 2016, the popular vote, we saw it when he said his crowd at the inauguration was bigger than Obama's, and it was clearly much smaller from all kinds of evidence. This is a man that doesn't like to lose anything. And so he muddies the water to sow confusion. And that's all this is. There's
okay.
Absolutely no voter fraud.
All right, Professor, great to speak to you. Thanks so much for joining us. I just wanted to go across to Sriram Lakshman, the U.S. correspondent for The Hindu. Sriram, the point on the court process, that doesn't work that simply, right? The assumption that Trump would just go to the Supreme Court, it won't work like that. He has to go through other courts of appeal first. And ultimately, what the Republicans would seek, disenfranchisement of a large number of people, of voters, is constitutionally invalid. I mean, it's common sense that the U.S. Constitution will not allow that. So legally, what is the route that they would try and follow?
I don't think really, thank you, Vishnu, I don't think they really have too many options open. I do believe that Samuel Alito, one of the Supreme Court justices, about 2 weeks ago, they didn't want to intervene in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision that they would allow counting till Friday, but they did leave open the possibility that they could come back to revisit it. Just winning Pennsylvania alone would not be enough to Trump, as one of the other panelists had mentioned. It's a necessary condition for him to get to 270, but it's certainly not a sufficient condition. And you're right that, there are legal challenges, according to what I just checked, in four different states. So I don't think the president is somebody who accepts defeat easily, and this is what we're actually seeing. I do agree that there have been efforts at disenfranchisement. There have also been efforts at, people walking out, at least one, according to the New York Times, and I know one of your panelists criticized the fact that the New York Times report was cited, but at least one Trump supporter in Arizona was carrying a gun. These are all intimidation tactics. And Vishnu, I'd like to, ask the president, he says, stop the count. If you were to stop the count, what next? Biden is still leading and nobody is at 270. Has the president thought about what happens next?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. What happens next is the big question. Puneet Ahluwalia, is it your sense now, based on what you're hearing, that Nevada results, would be out within minutes, and I suppose Georgia as well, we'd get some Arizona as well, we'd get some clarity in the next little while, and with these two states, we'd be on the cusp of knowing who's going to win, right?
First thing is, I do want to say that yes, it's very contentious and very polarizing, because there have been instances of fraud. I have to say that, because when you receive more ballots, mail-in ballots, then they were sent out, and then you have another few thousand left to be counted, it starts to put a doubt in the mind, was the intention, the integrity of the elections compromised? So that has been the concern. And I have a dear friend where I was involved in some of these folks who are sitting in the ivory towers, just like some pollsters who were making all these proclamations that President Trump is going to lose. But we fared much better. We picked up seats in the House, and that's given a thin margin.
You still think you're going to win? You still think you're going to win?
I missed that question.
Think you're going to win?
No, I think it's a chance is getting slim because the way it's been stacked against us is very high. And I'll give you another background that it was mentally being put towards our Democratic and swing voters and the Republican voters who were attracted to President Trump's message to that this election is already set in stone for Biden. This is the moral and the soul of the country. And it was all the tactics done on social media and in the news media, along with the pollsters, that this election is already lost by President Trump. But that's contrary to the others. And now what they're trying to do is even some of these states are so close where it should be in President Trump's box, but they haven't given it to him. It's a mental fatigue that you want to put in the voters' mind and the fighters' mind and the people on the ground that this election is already over and Vice President Pence has won. So that's the mindset it's been going on. But I still believe if we choose to have the integrity of every American citizen who has voted, and we've seen in Pennsylvania where they have chosen, first it used to be that on Friday, day before the election, which is Tuesday, by 5 p.m., whatever votes you have received
right.
on mail-in ballots are counted. Then they kind of shifted it from the day of the election till 8 p.m.
Okay.
Then they kind of moved it from the 3rd till the 8th. Till the 6th. So they have at each point tried to shift the goalpost to suit their needs. And that's where it basically, you know, stinks and
sure.
trying to steal the election from President Trump.
All right.
And
all
I
right.
understand President Trump is very contentious.
Right.
I just want to make that point. And by the way, in Pennsylvania, they have voted up and Republican poll watchers are unable to watch the true polling. And they have also given a little flexibility that when you have mail-in ballots and they don't have a postmark, they're still being allowed to be counted. So it doesn't seem right. It is not, I think there is fraud.
All right. We're going to take a short break over there. Strong words there from Puneet Ahluwalia, who insists that there is fraud which is being committed. But there are those who believe that it's just a matter of time now before Biden actually gets these numbers, that he's fairly close at this stage. It would need a real effort from the Republicans to win this without getting into all of those allegations of fraud, then going to the courts and trying to win it from that route. Time for this short break. Welcome back. The big focus continues to be the United States, and there's a real expectation now of Arizona. And an idea of where Nevada is going. There should be an update soon. We're joined by Patsy Veerakosawara. Thanks, Patsy, very much for being with us. She's with the Voice of America. David Bylop, political columnist and data analyst with the Washington Post, is with us as well. Patsy, let me come to you first. Any update on Arizona and on Nevada at this stage?
No, at this point, it's still a very tight race. It does appear that Biden is leading in both states, both in Nevada and Arizona, but it's still too close to call as ballots are still counting in. So at this point in the race, we know that the lead for Biden is increasing. I mean, there's still a viable path for both candidates to reach 270. I'd just like to underscore that, you know, let's not take any conclusions just yet. Biden can still reach 270, of course, if he wins Pennsylvania, or even if he loses Pennsylvania, if he wins, for example, Nevada and Arizona. Now, the paths are a little less clear for President Trump. He has a less or more narrow path towards 270. But definitely the Trump campaign is not giving up. They just released a press statement a few minutes ago saying that they have achieved a great legal victory. That's how they're framing it in terms of trying to get access to monitor the ballot counting process in Philadelphia, in the state of Pennsylvania, that's very much still at play right now.
Yep. David Bylop, just in terms of what you're hearing on a time for an update as far as Nevada or Arizona is concerned, what are you hearing? And And what about Pennsylvania? Because it's just essentially Philadelphia now, and about 140,000 votes which are left to be counted, as I understand it.
Right. So the different sort of deadlines and stated sort of target dates, rather, for different states varies. I would keep an eye on it over the next few days. I would guess that there's going to be more calls in that time and that we may have some clarity. What I would caution about, though, is like the other panelist was talking about, there's always the possibility of legal action on this, even if one candidate is declared the winner and appears to have won. So definitely keep an eye out in the next couple of days for Pennsylvania, as well as Georgia, possibly Nevada and Arizona. We'll see how these counts go, how long it takes. But keep an eye on that, as well as the legal situation that may unfold.
Patsy, how has that legal situation already started unfolding? Because the Republicans have been filing different suits in different contexts in different states.
Right. Right now, there are three major lawsuits coming up from the Trump campaign out of the, you know, many more than dozens of lawsuits from both camps. But the three that we're really looking at right now, number one, the Trump campaign is trying to get the Supreme Court to intervene in a recent Pennsylvania court decision to allow an extended counting period for mail-in ballots. This is, you know, for ballots that come in after November 3rd, as long as it's postmarked by November 3rd, whether or not it can still be counted. That's number one. The second one, the Trump campaign is trying to stop both counts in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. And then the third one is they're asking or demanding for a recount in Wisconsin. And most analysts that I speak to say that even if the recount is happens, it will unlikely change the result there, because most recounts usually just come out with a difference of a couple of hundred of votes, and certainly not in the tens of thousands that President Trump has to surmount in that state, in Wisconsin.
Okay. David, just a couple of quick reactions to what's being said. As has been mentioned, Trump has said just a little while back, big legal win in Pennsylvania. As far as he's concerned, it's already been done. Anything being counted so far is illegal. So that seems to be an indicator of where he's going to go down with this from a legal standpoint. And secondly, Biden, it's believed, is going to be addressing the United States soon. Where do you see this going in terms of messaging from here onwards?
Right. So there's a lot of different things that could happen with messaging. My guess is that Trump will continue to work through and think through and try to make legal threats and arguments. Some of that might be aimed at trying to win the election, but also at some point it might be aimed at trying to keep his base consolidated and keep a segment of the population believing that he was the rightful winner, even if Joe Biden is, you know, correctly declared as the rightful winner based on the final count of votes, so on and so forth. He might be gaming towards that scenario where he tries to maintain credibility in the event of a loss. In terms of Biden, what we've seen so far throughout the campaign is that he's always said that he wants to respect the process, that he wants the votes to be counted, et cetera, et cetera. So I would expect for him to just sort of keep doing that. But Democrats in legal circles have also emphasized that this is different than the year 2000 when they lost the legal fights, that if it comes down to something in the courts, that they will go down swinging and definitely not let the Republicans off easy. So a lot of things still up in the air there.
Patsy, last question to you. Pretty much all the agencies, all the networks are being very cautious about this election, because there's going to be a recount, which is also going to take place most likely in certain states. So when does anybody really call these elections, or does one wait, or do you think networks will be waiting till we get an idea of what Trump's legally going to do?
Well, traditionally in the election, in the American election system, one candidate that reaches 270 first will claim the winner as the winner, and then his opponent will give a concession speech. Now, of course, we don't know whether that's going to happen this year with all the legal battles that's going on. One date to remember is December 8th. That is what's called the safe harbor deadline. And that is when essentially all the legal lawsuits have to be settled. And by that time, we should have a clearer idea of who the winner is, even though there's, you know, still a number of legal battles that's happening. It all has to be settled by that date. That is the idea. That is the principle. We don't know whether or not it will happen in 2020. Of course, this is unprecedented in so many different ways.
All right. Patsy Veerakuswara and David Byler, thank you both very much for joining us. We're going to take a short break, continue to focus very closely on the elections in the United States. No one really knows what's going to happen. It's down to the wire, very much so. Even Stevens in many states. But yes, Biden has a small edge.